We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Joining me now, Stan Weber. In his 33rd year of analyzing Kansas State football and K-State sports. And we've got a bunch to cover today, even though it is a week off for the Wildcat football team. We're going to look back and look ahead with football. Also probably try to talk a little bit about the Big 12 and maybe some K-State and Big 12 basketball on the program today. So a very busy show. Stan, going into a second bye week basically in a month, K-State, after a 3-0 start, now 3-2, 0-2 in the Big 12, and they found the going in the league a little bit tough with a loss in Stillwater and last week at home, a 31-12 setback to the Baylor Bears. I know a lot of people are wondering kind of where this football team is at. So generally, let's kind of just grade the team through five games, what you think is going on, and where are they headed?
Well, the thing that you would do if you were grading and you said put it into terms of five games is go back before the season started and then look at the view plane compared to what you thought in the beginning. And I think you come up with a different answer, because to get to the point, there was a roller coaster ride in there where K-State rose into the rankings, beat Mississippi State, a ranked team on the road. Wyatt, that's historical. You know, that's big, and it's so exciting. And K-State was 3-0 at that point, ranked number 22 in the country. And if you look in terms of there, then they're not at the same point. Things aren't working as consistently as you might perceive as the number 22 team in the country, right? But when you start the season out and you got a new coaching staff and you had no running backs that had any carries returning, with Alex Barnes deciding to try out the NFL draft, and you said, okay, where is this football team going to be? If you would have said, look at their schedule, look who they play. There's a Baylor team out there that's playing at an undefeated level. And Oklahoma State has the leading rusher in the country. And they play at Mississippi State. Whoa, how are they going to be after five games? I think if you would have told that fan or ourselves at that point before the season started, K-State is 3-2 and they're in a bye week getting ready for a home game against TCU. How do you feel about the team? I think there'd be a lot more positiveness, Wyatt, under that scenario. You go, whoa. So you've only lost two. You got a winning record. You got a home game against TCU, and you got a little time to rest up for it. And if you didn't get into the details of who you beat, you know, you could have lost to Mississippi State. Most people thought they would, and be 1-1 in the conference. You know, say you would have won last week against Baylor and lost on the road to Oklahoma State. I think most people would say, oh, you're in a pretty good position. You're not far off of where we would want to be. We could hope for more, but you're solidly building into the season. You might ask the question, well, how do the running backs look so far? You know, we don't know what those running backs are going to be like. You say, well, you know, I think we're seeing some positiveness from that group. And I think James Gilbert is really doing a nice job running the ball. And Jordan Brown's injured right now, but he's done some nice things. I think you'll be happy. Well, how's Skylar Thompson? Is Skylar okay? Is he healthy still? Yeah, Skylar's healthy. He's fine. He's rolling along. You know, I think that we would view this pretty positively, definitely not negatively. I don't think the negative thought process would be in if we would have jumped from just before the season started to today. But that's not how we got there, right? The excitement level of going to Mississippi State and winning got us all on a high, and the momentum was great. And now we sit here a little bit later having two bye weeks and only two games played, one of them on the road, and you've lost both of them. It seems like forever since you won a game. So I respect the fact that with the expectations that were suddenly built in, that Skylar Thompson would never throw an interception and he's delivering the ball on target all the time and he's dictating out there with his audibles. You know, that was not necessarily fair to act like he's Carson Wentz, okay, an NFL star or a top two pick or something. No, I think Skylar's fine. He's playing well when you look at the totality of the five games. And K-State has done some things well and very well. Now, there's been a little inconsistency, and that's one of the stories right now. Where are you going to find a consistency? Or if you're going to have some inconsistency, are you going to get enough good plays to make up for it? If you go back and watch the tape, there are plenty of times, Wyatt, where you go on first down, oh, K-State made a pretty nice play. On second down, K-State made a really nice defensive play. Oh, what happened on third down? They just got a first down. How did that happen? You know, Baylor had plays and Oklahoma State had plays that were inconsistent with down after down, but they all count, and inconsistencies are part of football. So I think K-State needs to find a little more consistency on offense against Oklahoma State. K-State had good first downs and really poor second down play. And against Baylor in the last game, K-State drove the ball into Baylor territory. I'm going to say 7 out of 8 possessions from early in the game to later in the game, and came up with very few points. So the upper red zone, as Coach Kleiman likes to talk about it, not the red zone from the goal line to the 20, but more from the 20 to the 45, right in that area, K-State didn't do well against Baylor. What are the reasons? Well, Wyatt, we can start going through a lot of them. We can credit Baylor with some of the things that they are able to do with the skill level they have. I love the middle of their team when you think about the linebackers and the defensive linemen are really, really fighting for first-team All-Big 12 type players. And so that helps cover up a little weakness at the cornerback position because K-State would like to run. It's second and two after an 8-yard first down play. You'd love to run, and Baylor beats the block and sacks, you know, tackles you for a 2-yard loss, and suddenly the dynamics change. So, again, there's been inconsistency. If you just took a reel of K-State's best plays, they would be fine, and K-State would be close to 5-0. But if you take some of their worst plays, the when they pop in, then you see why they have a couple of losses. Right now is the time to take a deep breath. Are you going to be able, are we, as a fan base and all of us involved and the players and coaches, Wyatt, are we going to be able to take a deep breath and look at this as those five games are behind us and we're not in bad position? We just need to get better and continue to fight and we'll be fine. Or do you say, oh, we're slipping. We were high up there after the Mississippi State game. Our offense was chugging along. Things were happening. And now we're not moving the ball as well. What's wrong? Is this a giant trend line to the negative? You know, I don't know. K-State's got to go prove it on the field, Wyatt. But I do think the smartest thing to do is take a deep breath and look at it in the totality. K-State's 3-2. They've had plenty of good plays. They just need to produce those plays time after time after time. And that will be the thing that will define how good they are. Because in this conference, you cannot have a ton of inconsistency and survive. You're going to lose some close games. You're going to let the other team score. They're going to have to clean that part of the game up, and Coach Kleiman knows it. They're going to be better on their fits in the running game, be better on certain second and third down opportunities to get first downs from the offensive point of view. They've got to do it. But is it in their DNA? Is it in their play calling? Yes. Yes. Go watch the tape. There are plenty of good plays out there. So K-State has it in them, but you've got to continue to put good day after good day, like Coach Kleiman talks about, but on the field, you got to put in good down after good down, and you need to do it for about 150 snaps to come out on top.
It's really interesting when you look at this football team, too. I think every Wildcat fan understands that this is a good group of seniors. You've got some good freshmen and redshirt freshmen, but maybe some holes in the depth in the sophomore and junior class. And during this time off, Coach has talked about getting a little bit more out of the younger players. Kind of take the fans through what he means by that and how that will play out.
Well, I think you got when you look at that, Coach Kleiman wants a mentality of when you step on campus, you're a part of this team and you can be counted on to be a contributor right away. One of the reasons why he has that ability, Wyatt, is because he play players four games and not count against that redshirt. So it's a different world. You know, you may think, well, this is a lot different approach than we heard from Coach Snyder. Coach Snyder would generally take almost every freshman and put them through a redshirt year of program and development. And there are positives to that, but they're very focused and not worried about getting on the field, more focused on weightlifting, development, learning the K-State way, getting their academics in order, learning how to work hard. There's pros and cons to each, but in this current setting, it is really a smart thing to do to say, we got four games of action free from every guy, so why don't we get them ready? So the day that they walked on campus in June, he was ready to say, let's see what you can do. You can be a part of this action. And what he's trying to do is play off of that and say, rather than you're a young player and inexperienced and therefore have so much to learn that we may not be able to put you on the field, he's saying we've programmed these guys from day one to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. And as part of the development, we've got to give them a chance on the field, utilize some of their four games to see if they can take to it. Because it's a heck of a challenge, Wyatt. I played my first game as a freshman year. When I was at LSU, I played the whole fourth quarter as a free safety. My freshman year, I did not redshirt. I was a part of the team, so I know exactly what it feels like to be counted on, to be a member of the group, to be on a traveling squad. Every time you go to training table, you feel like I need to be ready to play this week and help K-State win. I understand how cool that is, what the responsibility is, but I also, on the other end, realize how hard it was and sure. And is to be a freshman. Just because I was a part of it and I was geared up to be ready, Wyatt, doesn't mean I wasn't just a little 18-year-old trying to play against 22-year-olds who knew what they were doing.
Truly.
You know, I was at a disadvantage. So I think Coach Kleiman is trying to promote their brains to be ready and be contributors, and then from a coaching staff, give them every benefit that you can to be ready, but then also monitor how ready are they and how much can we utilize them, with the idea that you probably don't want to utilize a lot of them more than four games anyway. So you're always pushing the buttons, and off week's a great time to see who can step up. You know, you got a Joe Urban who really looks like he has some nice capabilities. He's played two games this year, and he looked good against Baylor. When do you figure out, Wyatt, to use his next two games, or do you just jump completely to we're not going to redshirt him? Mm-hmm. Those are the decisions that they need to figure out administratively. It's like being a NFL general manager now, trying to determine how to use your roster. And so he's really saying, let's see if we can get those guys ready, see who we can use in certain situations, and see how much we can feed them and make them a part of the game, and see if we can get a spark from them to add to what we have. You know, because some of these younger guys may be faster than some of the players that are out there more. So you got to balance. Okay, do I rather have that inexperienced speed, or would I rather have that experienced player who knows how to play down after down, is more crafty, but doesn't have quite the speed? So mm-hmm. It's a balancing act right now. But the philosophy has been totally changed, not just because Chris Kleiman's a coach. I think it's as much because the rules have changed. And why wouldn't you want to utilize your whole roster? Why wouldn't you want to see what those freshmen can do, at least for four games each?
Very, very interesting subject. We'll certainly be talking about it more and more as we go throughout this 2019 season. Let's talk a little bit about the Big 12. Just three games this weekend, but all in their own way, very big games. And I think you start with the headliner with Oklahoma and Texas in Dallas, the Red River rivalry game. Most people are saying Oklahoma. the spread is 10, 10.5. I happen to think that may be a little much. I think Texas has a chance. Am I crazy?
Well, no, you're definitely not crazy. And hey, Wyatt just gave you some great advice. Listen closely. I've watched this game for the last 5 years or so where Oklahoma is the best in a conference.
Right.
And I still have found that old adage that, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, there weren't that many games on TV, but you know, one game that was on TV when the Texas State Fair was occurring every year, we got to watch Oklahoma versus Texas. And it's one of the most even series historically of anything I've ever seen. I mean, they beat each other, you know, close to 50% of the time. It's a back and forth type of thing. And even with Oklahoma being the better team, I've been surprised at how well Texas has risen up and played on this date against them. So I don't expect anything else, Wyatt. That's just a generic statement. I think this Texas team's, this version of the Longhorns is better than any of the last 5 years. I think Sam Ellinger gives them a Colin Klein type of effect where they're better than they should be because he's such a winner. And he's just going to will that team physically if he has to run it mentally. And if he has to pass, he's going to go, I may not be the greatest passer, but watch this spiral. I'm going to complete this pass. You know, so much like we saw in Colin Klein's 2011 and 2012. So I think Sam Ellinger is really a hard out for Oklahoma. I think Texas is playing better football. And I think that win over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl really has changed Tom Herman's ability to reach these players and talk about how good they can be. So I still would say Oklahoma's going to win the game. I would still say Oklahoma's going to win the conference. But I think Texas is going to play them close. And this is a big variable game because the Sooner version we run out there this year isn't just, oh, you know, here's the same quarterback for the third straight year. Jalen Hurts is played on big stages at Alabama. He's played Alabama, Auburn. But still, how's the day going to go for him against Texas? You know, it's a unique environment where when you play Alabama, Auburn, you know what happens? You played Alabama and all the fans are for you. You played Auburn, everybody's against you. This is one of those weird ones where on every play, half the stadium's cheering and going crazy because OU Texas, neutral site, half the Cotton Bowl for each. So how will Jalen Hurts handle this? Will he play at a dominant level or will he miss some of his passes? I think he's the key, Wyatt. You know, how is he? We know he can play to the Heisman Trophy level, and he can also play to a level where he misses some open passes and gives Texas a real chance. I really think Jalen Hurts will be the monitor. If he plays great, Oklahoma wins. If he plays really good, Oklahoma wins. But if he plays average to poor, Texas will be right there to take a shot at winning this thing.
Well, you've got three teams in the league that are 2-0 right now, Oklahoma and Texas. They play this weekend in Dallas. The other 2-0 team, the Baylor Bears, who we saw this past weekend, they're at home on Saturday in Waco to take on Texas Tech. Tech starting to kind of get a little bit of feel under Jet Duffy now. I think you still have to favor Baylor, but break this one down real briefly for us.
Well, I think Texas Tech is a more variable team. I think that with the style that they carry, you know, all the way back to Mike Leach, Cliff Kingsbury, they're allowed to exploit that passing game when things get going. And there's no day that they may not throw for 350 or 400 yards. So I was very impressed with Tech's game against Oklahoma State. They controlled that thing and got ahead enough in the first half and then made enough winning plays to hold on. So I think Texas Tech has the capability of playing at a very high level, but I don't count on it. Wyatt, it's more inconsistent. And the fact that they're going to be on the road puts some curveballs. I think Baylor's more of a consistent team. I don't see a lot of weaknesses in their team. I think Charlie Brewer's a winner at quarterback to make plays, and that's very helpful. But I think they have a solid team. If you want to look for one weakness, you might find that Baylor's corners are not great, and maybe Texas Tech's passing game can attack them. If Tech Sure. wins, maybe you see some passing yards against cornerbacks. You see them and get exposed more than you might have seen K-State exposed them. Okay, so that's one reconciling item there. But I think Baylor's interesting position right now is they're starting to find the love during the season that they didn't expect. And how will they handle it? I happen to think they're going to handle it just fine because that's different than off-season love. Off-season love and promoting your team above what you've been used to being in a position in is really hard to overcome. My example would be a team you're probably about ready to ask about, Iowa State.
Yep.
Iowa State's a good team, Wyatt. But you know what? They have a burden on them, a psychological burden that everyone says they're great. Oh, you guys are great. It's going to be easy to beat Northern Iowa. I mean, oh, come on. And Iowa's coming into our house, and now we're established. I mean, we're ranked in the top 25 preseason, and we got Brock Purdy. Wow, we are Iowa State. We're the third best team in the Big 12. Well, to me, that's the worst thing those players could have heard all summer long. You love to say you made it, Wyatt, but it's hard to stick. And I think that's affected Iowa State. They're doing very well. If we would not have Iowa State's expectations too high, you would say they're putting together a good season and they are a tough team to beat. But instead you go, well, they barely beat Northern Iowa and they lost to Iowa at home. Mm-hmm. And then they lost that game at Baylor. What's going on? So Iowa State needs to keep their composure and just get back to being who they are, and they'll be dangerous. Will Baylor now come under the pressure, a newfound pressure of, oh, you guys are the third best team in the Big 12. I don't think it's going to weigh on them, Wyatt, because Charlie Brewer has been around it a long time. His dad and his grandfather are Texas quarterbacks and all of that. I don't think they're going to have a burden. Plus, I said this big distinction. In-season love, while you're actually doing it, is called momentum to me. Off-season love is pressure. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And I think Baylor's catching momentum, and I think they're going to continue to get better, and they're a good team. And I think Iowa State got unlucky that theirs was off in the offseason, and it's called pressure. I bet you if they had their podcast on Learfield, they'd say, what do you think about Iowa State and where they are with a couple of losses? And guess what, Wyatt? They'd probably be really disappointed. You know? And I would say, don't be disappointed. Hey, Iowa's good. Baylor's good. You're going to be fine. Get back to work. Iowa State could be one of the top teams in the conference. But it isn't easy. It's not easy for Baylor. It's not easy for Iowa State. It's not easy for Texas Tech. It's not easy for K-State. But these teams, Wyatt, are not that much different. K-State's got a little more proven, a little more belief they need. But really, these teams are not that different. Who can keep their composure? Who can get their confidence? Who can get inconsistencies out and make a play here or there? And you mix those teams together, and any of them can win. And I could keep going because I could throw West Virginia in there,
right,
and go down the list. So that's TCU. That's Big 12 football this year. Fun to watch. Scary as heck when you're rooting for your team. It's scary as – Iowa State fans are not having fun right now with two losses. K-State fans are not having fun with two losses. Baylor fans are having fun with undefeated. But guess what? Baylor could have lost to Iowa State. Baylor could have lost to K-State. See, are you going to win your close games? And you got to – right now, you can only look forward, keep your composure, believe in yourself, and go get your share of close games. But unfortunately, not everybody can win. Someone's going to have a poor record, and someone's going to have a good record. And I'm telling you, there's not much difference between these teams.
I agree. West Virginia – and Iowa State in Morgantown at 3 o'clock. So is Tech at Baylor. The Oklahoma-Texas game is at 11 a.m. We'll wrap it up and talk some K-State basketball in a moment, but we remind you the Wildcat Weekly Podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service. For all their tire and auto service needs, visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. Well, it's hard to believe, but the basketball season is right around the corner. K-State's Basketball Media Day will be next Wednesday. Stand the following Wednesday, it's Big 12 Media Day at Sprint Center in Kansas City. I've got a feeling that Bruce Weber's club will be picked closer to the bottom than the top after tying for the top spot with Tech a year ago. I guess that's life after Dean Wade, Cam Stokes, and Barry Brown. With all that said, I still like this team. I think you do, too. They're not without some question marks, but this will be a very interesting year for Bruce and the gang.
Yeah, I do like the team, Wyatt, and it's kind of the reverse effect of what I spoke about with Iowa State. This is complete understatement. You're coming off a Big 12 championship regular season year with a tie with Texas Tech, okay? And you lost three superstars. But remember, Dean Wade was iffy down the stretch. And these other guys, there are a number of players who are on the team and played in pressure moments. So they have championship-level game experience where you're out there where you have to win down the stretch to be a Big 12 champion. So that really plays well, I think. And unlike the Iowa State football, instead of everyone saying, oh, I know you're going to be great. Think about Iowa State football for a second. They say, oh, I know you're going to be great. But they had a superstar running back and receiver go to the NFL. Kind of like our basketball team.
That's
we
right.
had guys go on to the NBA, but we got lucky that everyone said, I don't know. I bet you're just going to be settled on down at that bottom half of the conference. And Iowa State, they said, oh, this is going to be easy. You know, you don't need Dean Wade and Barry Brown. You're going to be great. I like it. I think this team will overachieve the expectations because the expectations don't take into account how much momentum Bruce Weber has, the staff consistency he has, the philosophy and the belief of the players, the experience of the guys coming back, and how good they are, A. And I think there's a bunch of improvement in there. A Mike McGurl could be a lot better. A Cartier Jada could be a lot better. And then don't forget, something that I don't like to spend a lot of time on until they put the real purple uniforms on and run out in the court, Wyatt, the recruits, the new guys. I can listen to all the hype all day long, but I like to just kind of cool the engines and wait till I see them. But based upon what we're hearing from the coaching staff and what we studied in recruitment and so forth, Wyatt, that group's going to be helpful. We got some young players that can make a difference and have a maturity about them that they're not just going to be freshmen. They're going to be basketball players. So, they'll probably be picked lower than they should, in my opinion. But I'm excited about this year. And I think that we're on the road of being good this year. And no reason why we shouldn't say better the next year after that. I'm not big on, hey, the future's going to be even better. Talk to me about now. I'm excited about now. I mean, I think you can think about, and you got to prove it, but we can be an NCAA tournament again, tournament team again. And if we have some things come together, our group will take, this group of basketball players will take to the run and the vigor needed to be at the top of the conference. They can fight all the way near the top if they win a couple of close games and have a couple of things go well. It's not too much for them. When you look at the roster, they have a chance. Sure, Tech's loaded and KU's loaded, but it helps when you've experienced winning. And it wasn't only Dean Wade, Kamau Stokes, and Barry Brown who experienced winning last year and the year before.
Truly.
There's some other guys that it's in their brain, Wyatt. They want to win. They know what it takes to hit that pressure free throw, you know, to make that defensive stop. I love that these guys have been through it more than most people probably realize. I'm not being disrespectful to the big three who left. Loved being around them. Loved what they did reestablishing K-State basketball under Bruce Weber. But the K-State basketball is not over just because those three guys left. I think we got some momentum now, and I'm really excited.
So looking forward to the start of men's basketball season 2. The exhibition campaign will start on Friday night, October 25th, as Emporia State visits, and then the regular season opener against North Dakota State in Manhattan on Tuesday, November 5th. So write it down. Should be a very interesting weekend. The Wildcat football team is off. TCU will be here next weekend for Harley Day, and we'll talk about Gary Patterson's team on next week's show. But that's going to wrap up this week's Wildcat Weekly Podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.